Let me bounce this question off you though, because I just started playing Dark Arisen after your constant recommendation. And is there any way to tell before getting into a fight with the monster whether or not it is so strong that it will be able to just tear your dick right off and put it on the ground?
No, you just gotta put your dick out there and hope for the best.
Because I got a mission to go fight some monsters in a well, and I jumped down the well, and before my feet touched the bottom of the well, my dick had been just destroyed.
Is that a common special ability for the monsters?
Yeah, once a monster gets above level 50, genital mutilation is the main arrow in their quiver.
So they're like moils?
How do you look at a monster in Dragon's Dogma and go, are you the dick ripping kind?
I will tell you, no, I have, it's oh, very obvious.
Yeah, you're obviously the better choice.
If he has a Yarmulke and a small blade in his hand.
Okay, well, now you're doing Jewish gags. Nobody's going to get those in the flyover states.
That's true. See, that I'm trying to broaden the horizons.
Our demo is firmly in the breadbasket.
Yep.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
Oh, you caught. My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and I know the best thing of the week.
Oh, this is the Besties, where we talk about the very latest and greatest in culture.
Frushtick, shut up. Is Frushtick sick?
No, I'm just speaking very softly.
Okay. Are you recording in a library? Or a funeral?
No, I thought it would be a nice change of pace to maybe dial it down a little.
Are
bit.
You dying? He asked, fingers crossed.
Aww.
Fingers crossed that you're not dying.
That you're not dying.
Oh, phew.
He said, fingers crossed.
Boy, howdy, what a week. What a week of games.
It's been busy.
Yeah.
God, I Justin, can you start? Because I'm just so excited to hear you talk about your thing.
Yeah, the best Star Trek game of the month.
Oh no.
Is Star Trek the game
of the month?
I mean, April edition. I don't know if I don't know if any other game that has the word Star or Trek are being released this month, because if so, this will almost certainly be usurped. but Star Trek the game is really, 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 really terrible. Really very bad.
I remember seeing the announcement of this game. Was it last E3 that it was announced? I think so.
I think maybe two E3s ago. It's been a while.
It's a Namco Bandai published joint, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I used it as, like, this was when Dark Souls just came out and Ace Combat 6 just came out, and I was like, they're fucking turning it around. And then the Star Trek trailer came out, and I thought it looked kind of dope.
Yeah, it kind of looked okay.
Yeah, you know, it's really the problems start conceptually. I mean, I'm not the world's biggest Star Trek fan, right? I've seen the movies. I've watched a good amount of Next Generation. I'm not like a hardcore fan, but like I understand enough to know that the idea of a third-person shooter where you're killing a bunch of people is like not Star Trek. I mean, yeah. Star Trek is about since its inception, it's been about equality and pushing for like social justice and stuff.
Not if you're a Klingon.
Well, I mean, even they patched it up. They built some bridges there.
Yeah, and then they blew shit up.
But this game, like, if you look at Star Trek the 25th anniversary, that is kind of like a cool adventure game where phasers were like a rarity. This is a game where you're pitted against an alien race called the Gorn, who are from the classic show.
Oh, really? With the cannon?
What?
Where he shoots the cannon and it kills the Gorn? Is that one?
I don't know. I never watched it.
Does it look like a lizard?
Yeah, it's like a lizard.
Yeah, okay. So apparently in the original show, Captain Kirk, played by William Shatner, handcrafts a cannon, as in a like physical shooting cannonballs thing, out of like wood and rocks and such, and shoots it into the body of a lizard man. And it's sort of like a memorable moment.
Okay, so imagine that memorable moment repeated 300,000 times and for about 12 hours, and there's your video game. So, like, there's that. It's, like, that conceptually, it's crazy. Like, it has nothing. There's no, I mean, there's, like, there's exploration only that you can point your tricorder at things and get experience points. Like, it's not.
Ooh, I like those.
I know. Yeah, I know. There's an upgrade for your, you can fire your phaser on kill with right trigger, and you can fire it on stun with right bumper. And there's an upgrade to your stun setting that knocks out every enemy with a single shot.
Oh, very handy.
So that's good. That doesn't mess anything up at all.
So are you only fighting the Gorn, or are you fighting others?
Well, you're fighting the Gorn, and you're also fighting crew members that have been infected by the Gorn.
Okay. Presumably. How do you get infected by sleeping with them?
Models lying around, so they just, like,
right. Did they, how do you get infected by a lizard?
They stab you with a giant needle.
Oof. Do they just get scaly and shit?
Their eyes get yellow, and then they try to kill you. And the whole time they're trying to kill you, they say things like, "Please don't shoot back. I have a family. I'm doing this against my will." Pretty harsh.
Do they say this?
Bummer.
That is what they say. I'm not making. That's not a goof. Like, those are the things they say.
That's horrifying.
There's an enterprise level where you're like, you're piloting the most iconic vessel in all of science fiction, and it is a turret sequence where you're just like targeting enemies and firing at them, and it's so bad they do it for like a level, and it's never acknowledged that happened. Like, it's not a mechanic they crafted and repeated. It's just like checked off a bullet pointed list.
So it sounds to me like this is a game that any Star Trek fan would love.
Yeah.
I mean, so far it doesn't, like, is the shooting shitty? Is there, What's so far you've described a game that sort of doesn't match the Star Trek aesthetic, but I don't know why it deserved that harsh 3 you stamped on.
Whole thing is so, first off, it's repetitive. Like, you're just shooting dudes and
Call of Duty.
Yeah, okay. everything is broken. That's the other thing about it. Everything is broken. For instance, I'm going to give you a few good ones. There's a prompt early in the game. There's a prompt for how to do a stealth attack. You sneak up behind a dude and tap X to, but like, there's no reason you would ever want to sneak up behind somebody because you can stun them and then just walk up to them and incapacitate them. If you do that, when the prompt is up that explains how to incapacitate somebody without stunning them, that prompt just stays there because you didn't do it. So it just stays on the screen. And I
I
had to turn the game off. And turn it back on to make that prompt go away.
Yeah,
there is one point where you are having to, like, Kirk is injured and Spock is trying to help him. So Kirk is, like, on Spock's arm, so you're controlling both of them. And the controls are nightmarish because they didn't animate turning. So it's like you can turn forward and you can't back up at all. You hit back and it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So that those controls are, like, terrible. You're moving at negative speed, and the woman from the ship who's giving instructions says, use your tricorder. I've highlighted the exit that you cannot take out your tricorder while you're holding Kirk. That's a non-starter. Problem. And so because you can't take out your tricorder, you don't know where you're supposed to go. So I'm in this giant room hauling Kirk at about, like, 0.2 miles per hour while lizards shoot at me, and I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just wandering around this level. And there are several times like that where the game would just, like, break. At one point, my mission indicator was pointing me at a point, like, 300 meters behind me, the way I just came, and it wouldn't fix itself until I turned the game off and turned it back on.
Also, that sounds like an ARG. That sounds like maybe they incorporated those sort of elements as an ARG, where it's, like, physical. You know what I mean? Like a physical folk game. Like, in order to complete this mission, you actually have to do something in real life.
Yeah,
and that real life thing is ejecting the disc.
Who's to say technology always works, you know? Like,
right,
in this fantastic world, I mean, you can't trust technology. You have to trust human instinct. That's the Star Trek angle, you know?
Well, what would have been awesome is if at the end of the game, Q popped up and said, "Get it?" And then the game ended. There, as for a few you. Oh, and the ending is great. The ending's literally like, Kirk's like, "Get us out of here." And then the screen goes to black and the credits start.
Oh, my God.
There's no, like, I don't know. Oh, man.
Sequel. DLC.
Yeah. It's really bad. I mean, to give you some perspective, like, we didn't get sent this game. No one got sent this game. It didn't unlock for reviewers on Steam before the release. Like, they were really hoping to squeeze out a few sales, I think, before word got out, because it is a turd.
Have you seen the television commercials?
Yes.
They're atrocious.
They're the ones where Kirk is fighting the Gorn?
Shatner. Yeah, where you cheap out and you pay only for standard definition commercials during, like, HDTV spots. So you're watching, like, a basketball game, like, you know, gorgeous HD, and then it cuts to a commercial and it's, like, this grainy, hideous-looking monstrosity of a commercial for a video game and all the text is blurry and they're like...
I'm sorry that they don't have enough money to put up a fucking 4K TV spot for you.
I gotta get my HD.
I guess.
It doesn't seem like it would be... I take it back. It would be hard to make a decent licensed Star Trek game.
That's what I want to know.
It's called FTL. It's available on Steam right now.
That would have been better than this. I'll tell you the other problem that they're up against, and I completely get this, is that there was already a great Star Trek game, and it was called Mass Effect. I mean... That's your great Star Trek game. And if they had just cribbed that, sure. But no one will ever invest that kind of money into a licensed game because they don't need to.
Right. Also, they're on the time crunch if they're trying to tie it into a movie or something.
I completely. But even with that, like, that movie's not going to be out for a month or so.
Also, right? There's no benefit. Like, Mass Effect, EA owns that property. They invest heavily into it because they want to own it. Why would you want to put that much money into something that somebody else owns?
Exactly. So, like, sure. That's always going to be the problem with licensed game is, like, you know you're going to sell X amount of units with the license, so, you know, why invest more into it? Your return on your investment is not going to be worthwhile.
Justin, more importantly, how many funny accent gags are there in the game?
What do you mean?
Because I know almost every Star Trek joke surrounds around making fun of Chekhov and his funny accent, so I'm curious whether
maybe one in the movie did.
It's called Nuclear Wessels.
Nuclear Wessels.
Griffin, the most famous Star Trek line ever.
There is a tendency, I would say, for the game to do this thing where a character will say something completely obvious, like, it looks like we're gonna have to shoot these guys, and then the other character will point out what an obvious thing that was to say. They do this, no joke, at least eight times before I stopped counting, because it was so, it was like, okay, again, that's what we're doing again, because no one actually decided to write, like, dialogue for this.
Good point, Brainiac.
Yeah, that's exactly that. I think a very astute captain. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something nice.
Yeah.
It stinks.
I would like to talk about shapes. As a matter of fact, I'd like to talk about my best thing of the week, which is the best acting by a rectangle. Brought to you by Thomas Was Alone. Has anyone played Thomas Was Alone?
I haven't. I'm always hard up for a PS Vita game. It's just, it doesn't, I don't know why it hasn't really sung to me yet.
I will tell you why. Have you not played it at all?
I haven't played it at all. All I've seen is, like...
Screenshots.
Screenshot. No, I've seen video of it played, and, like, it just kind of looks like a floaty, it looks like a really hardcore platformer puzzler that just doesn't, I don't know. Yeah. Pitch me.
So, here's the thing. No. When you look at screenshots of this game, all you see are these 2D squares and shapes. We all know Justin hates 2D everything. Mm-hmm. This game relies on 2D graphics. And it looks, frankly, like in screenshot form, pretty dull. But the way it plays out, Griffin's right, it's essentially a platform puzzle game. And you're controlling different sized squares with different attributes. So one square might be tall and skinny and can jump, that's really more of a rectangle, but can jump a lot higher and farther than the others. And you sort of use these shapes to navigate the environment and solve puzzles.
So they're like now, boxes? Like boxes?
Yeah, they're boxes, essentially. Okay. Different sized boxes. Uh-huh. Now, while this is going on, there's a constant narration or dialogue going on, almost like a Portal or something of that nature, where you're hearing a story being told from the perspective of these boxes. for example, the game starts and you're playing as this red rectangle named Thomas. Pretty sure he's red. I'm colorblind, but I assume he's red. Named Thomas. And they say, like, well, Thomas, it's voiced in a British accent. And he says, well, Thomas was alone today and he was very sad about that. And then slowly but surely, as you meet different squares, each of them has their own personality, and like, there's the snarky square and the confident square.
Now, how do these boxes talk without mouths?
So they're not talking so much as the narrator is saying, well, Thomas was thinking that red rectangle's a fucking jerk.
So but the boxes aren't actually cursing. Acting because they're not talking.
No, they are acting.
How are they acting?
Because they are, you know, in the way that you might have a narrator of a silent movie, but all the silent movie actors are still acting.
Have any limbs or emotions.
No extremities.
And yet, without limbs and emotions, by the way, that's very offensive because people without limbs still have emotions. They manage...
Just fewer emotions.
They manage to exude a certain level of personality that one would not expect from different sized rectangles and squares.
Do you think that maybe you're just projecting your feelings onto boxes?
I think maybe these boxes are projecting onto me.
In what manner? Explain yourself immediately.
Do you just say things and like not worry if they're true?
Do I or do the boxes?
Both.
He obviously is addressing you.
I don't even know what are my thoughts and what are the boxes' thoughts at this point.
Jesus, this game
it's impacted me so deeply.
They should call it Frushtick is Alone.
Well, that's just life. That's just every day. That's what life is called. I wake up every morning and I say that.
I was alone. Oh, well, funny you should say that, because I was playing I'm playing this on Vita.
Uh-huh.
On my couch.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend is watching TV and not really paying attention.
Oh, way to brag.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, girlfriend!
I found a TV!
So she looks over and she's like, why are you even playing this game? And then she hears the narration and is half interested. Uh-huh. And then I screw up and like the red rectangle falls accidentally into some water. And she gasps in horror. Like something horrible has happened to the red rectangle. And that honestly says a lot about how much emotional investment one develops with these stupid squares and rectangles.
Yeah. I mean, you've obviously shared with your girlfriend your intense love of shapes. Intense.
We've already been there. Why do you think I'm working for this site? I'm a huge fan of shapes.
To be fair,
his girlfriend is an art scholar, so she has an unusual high amount of interest in shapes and color. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say your girlfriend is a rhombus. And I would be like, that's insane.
I'm really more of a trapezoid.
It doesn't. It just looks kind of. It just. I don't know. I think the jumping.
Download the actual demo.
Okay, do that.
There's a demo, and if you don't like, honestly, I was not super into it when I first started playing, but the tone of it and the way, like, honestly, like, it reminds me a lot of Portal in the sense that Portal, the mechanic of Portal, especially in Portal 1, is not super super interesting until towards the end of the game. Yeah. And that feels like this as well, where it really starts ramping up. Like, the basics are very basic, but you're propelled by the writing, which is good. And you're also propelled by, like, you know, just, like, they do, like, cool environmental stuff and cool, a really good ambient soundtrack. And honestly, like, Green Rectangle, I don't know what is going to happen to that guy, but I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know
I'm really...
what the puzzles felt like in that game to me? Have you ever, what? Like, you know when you talk on the phone, sometimes you, like, doodle? Like, you enjoy having the conversation, but you still kind of, like, doodle to keep your hands busy. Like, the puzzles...
Well, what do you mean by doodle?
Like, when doodle. Like, doodle. Like,
I'm doodling, doodle, like doodle. Right now? Like,
yeah,
I'm doodling?
Like a scribble.
When I
like, in the bathroom, when I'm doodling.
Conversing with somebody, I give them the fullness of my attention. That's like talking one-on-one.
No, but when I'm on the phone with someone, all I'm doing is doodling with my hand.
Yeah, yeah, the doodle.
God, he's making a jerk-off joke.
Are you?
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So when you know how you doodle? Okay, so
it was pretty good.
Thank you.
That's what the game reminds me of. Like, the puzzles, I don't feel like ever get very complex.
Did you finish the whole game?
I got probably like 75% of the way through. And
oh, did you?
Do I need to finish it? The story was very interesting, but ultimately I got bored.
Okay. I mean,
that's what I'd say. And that's what I would say for the game is I never felt challenged. So eventually, as like nifty as the story was, it just kind of fell to the wayside.
Well, how many of those trophies did you get?
I played it on PC. Sorry.
Oh, so you
cool kids.
No trophies.
I hate you so much.
You would have been way more challenged if you got all the trophies. Honestly, I think it's really groovy, and especially on the Vita, which is slowly but surely getting a larger lineup, but right now it's still pretty dry in terms of releases. What was that?
I think somebody's at the door. 1 second.
Should we pause here?
Why is he? Yeah. His door is literally right next to his computer.
No,
right?
Hey, yo, that's not the door. I'm opening the door. I haven't even.
That's not
my shit.
That's not your door.
Oh my god.
That's the window, buddy. You don't know what the window looks like.
Typically, we have the good fortune of having these guests visit, like, specifically in halftime. This is, I think, the first time that one's just sort of showed up.
Apropos. Hey, it's a good time. It's always a good time for me. You know who I am?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess. I know New York who you. I know who the fuck you are.
It's me. It's New York Giraffe. Hey, besties, how you doing?
Hey, Russ, are you not upset that New York Giraffe just interrupted you?
No, it's totally cool. I don't mind that at all. Honestly, we're buds.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, me, New York Giraffe, me and Russ are the best of friends.
Wait, you two like used to be in a show choir together, right?
No.
Maybe you two could sing one of your famous songs.
Sing one of your songs and make sure that you really nail the harmonies.
Well, Russ is going to be drinking water while I sing.
How was that?
That was
so
amazing.
Besties, I'm sorry to derail whatever you guys were talking about with the shapes and such. I want to talk about something. It's very near and dear to my heart. Have you guys heard about this Pizza Hut app on the Xbox?
There's so many problems. Like, pizza wouldn't be a thing that giraffes eat. How would a giraffe use an Xbox controller?
Oh,
what are you
Kinect.
Trying to say? I can't eat pizza just because I'm a giraffe?
No.
That's racist.
No. What kind of pizza?
Not only racist, but fully incorrect. Not only can I eat pizza, my uncle... On Long Island, makes pizza.
Okay. Oh, is your uncle also giraffe-based?
Of course he's giraffe-based. He's my uncle.
Okay.
He enjoys a good slice.
And why else do you think he lives on Long Island?
Well, I thought maybe you were... I don't want to get fucking too sensitive on the show, but I thought you were adopted since you speak English like a human being. You know what I mean?
Some giraffes
are
more educated than others. It's not... We're not all just eating grass off trees.
Guys, you do know why it's called Long Island.
I do, but I'm going to let you have the pleasure of saying why.
Everybody knows.
It was founded by giraffe immigrants, and it was named after the length of their necks.
Yeah, thank you.
So
I did not know
you
that.
Might be confused because Long Island goes sideways, but it actually originally was vertical up and down for a giraffe neck. It moved away because of the glaciers.
Okay, sure. I will. Yes, okay. Tell me
anyway,
about...
My uncle Enzo, who owns a pizza place out Long Island.
That's racist, but go on.
Has been making pizza for years, and Pizza Hut comes in here and is like, hey, we're going to own all the Xbox marketplace.
Yeah.
With all the pizza sales. You think they have the rights to sell all the pizza on everyone's Xboxes when my uncle Enzo's slaving away at this Pizza Hut, non-Pizza Hut establishment?
I mean, it is tragic because we do forget sometimes that giraffes are still slaves.
Well, not... I mean, maybe subjectively they are. I wouldn't say literally.
To zoos.
Yeah, but you know, that's optional.
Listen...
We
first
don't have
of,
to
first
live
of all,
in zoos.
I fail to believe
we
that there is.
We can just hop over them.
How is there any competition between Pizza Hut pizza sold digitally through a digibox and the floppy, sloppy, good homemade New York taste?
I completely agree with you. There is no competition for a pizza made by a giraffe. No one could compete with that.
Yeah. But you're saying that there should be... You're saying there's a monopoly on Xbox Live right now.
Absolutely.
There needs to be...
They actually pulled Monopoly from the store.
This is what happened. My Uncle Enzo, also a giraffe, I should mention, in case you didn't know.
Okay. You did mention
originally
it.
Spent about 8 years making a website for his pizza place. He spent a long time, because let's be honest, hooves not ideal for keyboards.
No.
But he made
name?
One.
What's the name of the place? Sorry.
The name of the place is myspace.com/giraffepizzaenzosplace.
Pizza Enzo's place.
.org.
There's a .org. You didn't tell me the .org.
Yeah.
Oh man, MySpace is undergoing maintenance, so I can't check the validity, so I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say it's true.
So what I'm hearing now is that no one uses MySpace anymore.
Well, Justin Timberlake just bought it. They're bringing it back, but it's a music platform now, so.
Yeah, and pizza.
It's not pizza. I don't think Justin Timberlake would open a pizza website.
Well, what about Mark Wahlberg opened a burger place? So let's be honest. Who knows?
I guess it's true. Transmedia.
Yeah, absolutely. Trans giraffe media is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to say it's bullshit. I don't like it. Buy Enzo's pizza. Screw Pizza Hut. Screw Xbox. Let me just... And, like, I don't know. Vitas are pretty cool. I like that shape game.
Why don't we...
I've been making pizza pie.
Did you guys hear that?
What was that?
It sounds like a low-flying airplane.
Oh, no. Oh, it gave me a nice haircut. Look at that.
Okay.
Anyway, I gotta go. I gotta help out.
Help out what?
Spreading the... I'm doing street teaming for Enzo.
Okay.
So if you want a pizza coupon, come down to Union Square. I'll be giving them out. Here's the thing, though. Bring a stepladder, because my head is tall.
How will we know it's you?
I'll be the giraffe.
Okay. Thank you, New York Giraffe.
Thanks, New York Giraffe, for coming
Adios, besties.
All right.
All right. Miss you.
Do you guys want to know my best thing of the week?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm super nervous to talk about the best Juggos ever, and it's Dragon Crown. Has a character in it. Are you guys familiar with Dragon Crown?
No, absolutely not. What is Dragon Crown?
It's a new VanillaWare game. It's a side-scrolling brawler.
Wait, is that the name of a company?
VanillaWare?
Yeah, Odin Sphere.
Odin Sphere. They did Muramasa.
Oh, I like Muramasa.
Yeah, you did. That's VanillaWare, Holmes.
Yeah.
There's a character who's causing quite a stir called the Sorceress. There's like six playable characters in the game. And like, here's the thing. It looks dope. Like, it looks incredibly cool, the game does.
What kind of game is it?
It looks kind of like the old D&D side-scrolling brawlers, like a fantasy RPG brawler, but with that same painterly art style that VanillaWare does. And also, it's on PS3 and Vita, so like, people are kind of like, I think that kind of game would work really, really well on the Vita, and it looks super great. But there's a character in the game, the Sorceress, who, gosh, Russ, if you haven't seen this, it's going to be
I guess I haven't. Use a analog. Like, what sides are we talking about?
Oh. I don't want to do this.
What don't you want to do?
I don't want you to try to compare the size of President.
You don't think I can do it in a benign manner? Imagine the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Oh, God. But only parts of it are puffed?
Which parts?
So I've just dropped an image in Skype. This is not a porno fan drawing. This is what we're working with here.
Is that in-game graphics?
That's in-game. I mean, it's not, I think that's
or
the
that
official
just for the instruction
art that they
book.
Sent out. This particular image is not great because it looks like she's holding her staff with her butt cheeks, which I do not think is a feature in the game. Here's the thing. So Jason Schreier wrote a post of Kotaku fame. Wrote a post when they released a Japanese trailer focusing on the Sorceress. The Sorceress has enormous breasts that are almost entirely uncovered. I would say the top, man, I don't know, 4/5 of her breasts are uncovered. But there's no, I guess her nipple is on the bottom of them. This is the most titillating episode of the besties ever.
Yeah.
So when this character was revealed, Schreier wrote a post. Saying, as you can see, the Sorceress was designed by a 14-year-old boy. Okay. And the headline of the post is also, game developers really need to stop letting teenage boys design their characters. Shots fired, right? Yep. I think it's safe to say that shots were fired there.
Yes, shots were fired.
The artist of the game, a guy named George Kamitani, responded on Facebook saying, it seems Mr. Jason Schreier of Kotaku is pleased with neither the Sorceress nor Amazon. The Amazon's another... playable female character in the game whose proportions are pretty whack but not nearly as like hypersexualized as this.
Sure.
He adds the art direction, which he likes, was prepared, and he attaches this to an image of three what appear to be naked, like super burly dwarves sort of embracing each other from behind.
Yes.
So his response was, maybe Schreier would like this.
My questions on this are multifold.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, homophobic, gross. Number two, did he just draw this for the gag?
Because I was wondering that too.
A long way around to zing somebody.
So the dwarf is another playable character in the game. So it's like
so he had
his assets around. Yeah. But it was, I mean, yeah, it was, I guess, shots fired back, but in like kind of like a way, way, way grosser way.
I mean, so like if I'm an artist, to play devil's advocate for a second, if I'm an artist and someone says, wow, my work is basically like lame and that of a 14-year-old boy, I would be offended. I'm not saying
sure.
Jason wasn't right to say that, but I would certainly be offended. Now, yeah, it does exhibit the maturity of a 14-year-old to then come back and be like, dude, you're gay.
Yeah, he's since apologized. He sent him a message that translated to, while the picture of the dwarves was meant to be a lighthearted joke, after it became bigger than I thought it would, I reflected on the rashness of it. I am sorry. I have no hard feelings about the article. Not, I'm sorry I called you gay because you don't like these huge, huge jugs.
Yeah.
What's troubling is the, not this dude's reaction. Well, yes, this dude's reaction was troubling, but also the community at large has had like some pretty upsetting reactions to this. I remember first seeing this post. JC Fletcher wrote something up at Joystick about the trailer when it first came out. He didn't call them, you know, a teenage boy, but he did say that it was kind of troubling and sort of injured his perception of the game, which he's been psyched about to this point. And there were some commenters in there saying, I think you're protesting too much. Like, why don't you like these jugs? You must be gay. And Schreier said the same thing. I said something on Twitter about how the internet was kind of like weird uncles because they're like, why don't you like these huge jugs? And somebody called me a gay slur on the Twitter.
Wow.
There's like
you would think that somebody using a gay slur Twitter would have shut down for a while just to investigate that. hey, we got an alert over in Sector 4. But someone used a gay slur.
I don't know. It is obviously such a huge, prominent problem of just rampant, crazy sexism in the industry that you... Usually the devil's advocate side of this can try and put together a fucking coherent sentence to explain their dumb position. But like this one's just like, you don't like these tits, gay? Like, it's fucking banana cakes to me that there is that loud of a voice on the internet saying this. And it's like fans of this super indie studio that like their fans love their games, and somehow that love of this indie studio, it's like if it's like if fans of like Super Brothers or Cappy or Double Fine were also like, what's wrong? You don't like Super Time Force? Gay? Like, that's what we're talking about. It's become perverted.
Well, but a lot of that, I would say, is propelled by his response, which is like, if members of the studio itself are responding in that manner, it sort of helps other people along, doesn't it?
I guess. I suppose.
You know, I'm not, you know, they're all morons, but obviously, like,
here's
a studio you dig.
Here is what Schreier intimated, and I am totally on the same page as him, because I remember seeing early trailers for this game thinking, like, this looks boss. This looks like a totally rad game that would be great on a portable platform. Caveat, if I was fucking on the bus and somebody saw me playing with this woman with enormous uncovered breasts, flopping almost independent of one another, I would be fucking humiliated.
Yeah.
And like that was something he said in his post, and people were like, well, that sounds like your problem, not that you're so afraid of public perception, but like, do we gotta have it in this game?
Well,
it's like,
guys, when I download Mad Men on my laptop and watch it on the plane, I'm like ashamed whenever a sex scene comes up.
Right. I watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo on a plane, and the whole time my elderly couple sitting next to me, I was like, I'm just gonna turn my screen off for the nude scenes.
What I think is interesting about the complaint, though, or the attack from the people who are like, why do you not like this gay, is the idea that like a gay person couldn't still be put off by the idea of this freakishly misproportioned creature being on their game that they have to play in public. Like,
right.
as if that person couldn't have an opinion.
That's way more thought than they definitely put into that one. I don't think they were like, well, I'm gonna get in the head of a gay person. Would they think this is cool or... No, probably not.
I mean, here's the problem with this, right? If Schreier does the post and then the artist answers back with this, the artist can apologize all he wants, but, like, you can't ungross that.
You know, all right,
like, I can't not think that he's a... Like, that was, you know, it's not like, oh, hey, I overreacted. Like, no.
What's his name? Mel Gibson. It's the Mel Gibson scenario.
Let me break off a couple of the crazier comments in the Kotaku comment section. He wasn't implying that he's gay. He just made overly muscular and exaggerated men along with the overly muscular and also exaggerated women. Horse shit. Like, fucking horse shit. Like, did you not read the text accompanying the burly dwarf pic? Does it feel good being a vicarious victim? I'm just curious because you seem to be wallowing in it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, guys.
Not good. Not a good situation.
Is it not bad enough that we don't let women in games, and when we do, we don't buy them? That, like, is that not bad enough without turning them into carnival toys?
I mean, in all honesty, we should be careful because, like, it's immature and lame, but, like, I don't want to tell someone you can't make a out of proportion whatever.
Right.
But it still bums me out when I see it, but I don't want to, like, ban, you know, anything.
I'm not talking about, like...
Yeah, it's just, like, with the violence in... the over-the-top violence I complained about with Bioshock, where it's, like... Why does it have to always be the furthest possible extreme the longer we keep getting video games? Like, I feel like the longer these things are made, the more extreme everyone pushes it to the point where it's just gross and not... It's putting people off.
Well, I think that's I think this is also a very special case where this is a gorgeous-looking game that looks really fun, and it's also portable, so you do have more of a public... perception to think about, like, as crazy as that is, like, you have to think about, like, if I take this on the road, like, there will be people seeing me play it. To have something in this gorgeous, fun-looking game that is, like, kind of a fucking eyesore, that is also, at the same time, kind of humiliating.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer all around.
Yeah, completely. It's how I feel when I find out that, like, an awesome game is loaded up with in-app purchasing. It's like, well, that's too bad. I won't be playing that now. It's just, like, a missed opportunity of, like, you know, tone and, you know, you make a different decision and suddenly your game is a lot more approachable for a lot more people. I will say, though, that more and more this seems... I wouldn't say it's an aberration because it's obviously still common, but it's getting less and less common over time. Like we mentioned, Elizabeth, who is, while not, like, wholly realistic, obviously stylized, is not, like, an obscene female character.
She does have a size negative 8 waist, like...
Okay, that's a fair point, actually.
And she gets, like... she sexes it up halfway through the game.
Okay. We should talk about that in our next segment, because
there are also some
that
rad,
does come up.
There are also some rad counter-arguments to Shreya's point. That all have to do with, like, the equivalence of female and male, like, sexual organs and, like, erogenous zones. Are you arguing that to be hypersexualized, the dwarf needs a huge penis then for parody? That seems more like the sorceress having a massive labia.
That's exactly what it's like, you fucking dildo.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wow.
Anyway.
You guys want to hear my best thing in the week?
Please. Yeah. Anything.
Okay. So, my best love letter to Bonanza Brothers is a little...
It's not really a sentence, but...
Okay. The best love letter to Bonanza Brothers is Monaco. Do you guys remember Bonanza Brothers?
No.
Why? I only...
Is that the one with the bubbles that you have to... Is it the bubbles you have to run around and pop?
No, that's Bubble Pop.
Wait, is that the one where there's like cubes and a little like weird alien guy and he hops around on the cubes?
No, that's Q-Bert.
Oh yeah, that's Q-Bert.
Is it the one with the wizard lady with the huge cans?
No, that's Dragon something.
Crown.
Sure.
Tell us about Bonanza Brothers.
I'm mostly just sad. Bonanza Brothers was like my favorite Sega Genesis game.
Oh, and that's why I didn't play it.
And I thought everybody else maybe played it. And then I thought, like, you know, I'd have friends who shared the things I liked. But what I found out recently is nobody played this game, like, at all.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it in my entire life.
I don't think your sample size is that big.
So, yeah. That's sad.
How many people have you asked?
I've asked, you know, like, at least Twitter. Okay, that's Bonanza Brothers is, it's like Blues Brothers meets like Spy versus Spy meets like a Monaco.
Okay.
you and somebody else, one's a fat dude and one's a skinny dude, you go into this 2D buildings and you sneak from room to room avoiding the cops or security guards and stealing stuff and then making your escape by helicopter or whatever else. And it's really cool. It was like an unusual cooperative stealth game at a time when those didn't really exist. And now Monaco is out, and it is like that to the extreme, where you can now play with four different people, and they each have their own special powers. And there are dozens, if not hundreds, of systems that you have to use to steal everything and get out alive. It's very cool. I just wanted to talk about Bonanza Brothers. I have a lot of trouble talking about Monaco because it's so stupendously complex that
it's very like gameplay centric.
Play it.
It also seems like one of those games that's hard to be critical about because it has like its legion of diehard fans because it's been in the works for such a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, we found a way in our review. It's certainly not the most glowing review I've read.
Yeah.
Well, you get attacked for it though. I think there's so many systems in the game, and there's so many different ways to play it, depending on what character you use. I genuinely can see how you could have an experience with the game, and somebody else could have a totally different experience with the game and come out with wildly different reviews. There's a character called the Mole in it that can break through walls, and it essentially destroys the entire flow of the game, as Russ and I found out while shooting our Today I Played. And when we were using that character, I hated the game. I mean, I didn't understand the levels yet, and everything felt like it was just screwing us.
It's fair to say if you go in having not played it at all and knowing very little about it, your first hour with the game probably won't be a ton of fun. The learning curve is, like, ridiculously steep, and they really don't do a great job explaining the systems. You basically have to die a lot to figure them out. I think once you're playing more and you understand, like, oh, these are the special abilities for each character, these are what icons mean. Like, the game is very representational. Like, you're supposed to know what a plug icon means or whatever. Once you start learning what all the things are, I was having more fun. But it's just, like, such a brutal first introduction to the game that...
Is it just two players?
No,
it's up to four. But you can play solo as well.
You think that's the ideal way of doing it, or you think four is, like, the ideal?
Four is the ideal if you can communicate.
That's the thing. I watched the two of you play, and, like, there was so much shit happening on screen. I don't know how you kept it all straight.
More often than not, you didn't. And I think the more people you add, the more chaotic it gets.
That's the thing. Like, it seems incongruous to me to have a stealth puzzle heist game, but also there's more shit going on than a fucking fast game of Geometry Wars. Like, that doesn't... I don't know. I expected the game to be a little bit slower, a little bit more meticulous than... From what I haven't played it yet, but from what I can tell from trailers,
it is. If you're good at it, it's very meticulous. And essentially, if you have, like, an elite squad of, like, guys that you play with all the time, I'm sure people within moments of the game's release were planning out, like, intricate strategies on, like, how to handle each room and stuff like that. But most people will just pop it in and give it a shot, and will feel probably pretty frustrated in the first hour or so. I think an important thing to learn is getting caught, unlike most stealth games, getting caught does not mean you should restart the level. More often, like, there are a lot of ways to, like, escape and rehide and stuff like that. But it's really tough to jump into.
Yeah.
I started liking it over time, though, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll get into it. I've always wanted to play a game like this. I've always thought that multiplayer heist games was like a pretty untapped, unrealized market.
Yeah, I think the big recommendation I would give is if you're going to try it, play it solo for like the first 6 or 7 missions, and that's a very good way to sort of learn everything without having to worry about what your friends are up to. Case in point, Chris Plant, when we're trying to be sneaky, decides instead to just sort of sprint ahead and punch a dog in the face.
Okay, here's the thing about this game, though, is everything happens so fast, you have no idea what the other person is doing.
It only happens
so
fast because you're sprinting around
someone
everywhere.
Someone like Frustic to look and see that you've been caught and to assume that you did a boo-boo, when the reality is you may have done a boo-boo.
Yeah, that seems likely.
I don't know what to think about it. I just feel like it's a game made for like competitive play, even though it's not a competitive, like a one-on-one type of game. It just feels like you have to spend so much time learning the game if you actually want to enjoy the game, which isn't bad. I mean,
it's not bad.
It's just overwhelming.
I've got a piece, so let's just close this out. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Who had the best thing, though? It's important.
I think Griffin did.
Yeah, I think Griffin.
I'm going
Griffin
for that.
Wins
for
every
the
week.
Hat trick.
Every week Griffin wins. He's like the Bulls, 94 Bulls.
Well, that's because I find important issues to bring and to talk about.
I don't even remember where. Oh yeah, the boob thing.
I won last time, but
you didn't.
No, it was Griffin last time.
Jesus, really?
And the week before.
Well, this has been the Besties, where we talk about stuff, I guess. And we have a website, too. It's polygon.com, @polygon on Twitter, Facebook.com/polygon, YouTube.com/polygon, polygon.com.tumblr.com. We did it today. I played a Monaco. What's yours is mine. What's mine is ours. It's on polygon.com. You can find it there if you want to look at that, watch that. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a review there if you don't mind. And join us again next Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best stuff?
Besties!